If a local restaurant wants to increase its profits by 15% this year, the owners have a monumental task ahead of them.
Right, they have to hire more staff.
Exactly. They have to hire staff, negotiate better rates with their suppliers, maybe expand their footprint. They have to physically grind out that extra margin.
Spend heavily on local marketing, all of that.
Right. But what if an entirely different type of business could watch its profits surge by that exact same 15% without doing absolutely anything?
I mean, no new products launched, no new hires made.
And zero additional cost. So today, we are undertaking a deep dive into the hidden architecture of a concept called the free surfer.
It is a fascinating model.
It really is. It is a structural framework detailed in the Averaging Up collection, and our mission here is to deconstruct this highly specific mechanism of geometric compounding.
Because it completely redefines how we understand business growth. It forces you to look past standard quarterly earnings and examine the actual physics of how a company generates its growth.
Which most investors miss entirely.
They do. Most investors think they are buying compounding, but as the article points out, they are actually buying something entirely different. They are buying growth that costs money.
So let us start at the ground floor so you can see exactly how this works. Before we analyze the specific layers, we need to establish the foundation.
The A and the B.
Right. If you strip any business down to its bare studs, every business possesses two underlying forces. The first force is what the author calls the A. This is the toll.
It is the cash the business collects in the present tense.
Like a percentage fee taken on a credit card transaction or a recurring subscription charge.
And then the second force is the B, which is the ways. This is the structural growth that compounds over time. It represents the future tense of the company.
So the entire thesis of whether a business is merely a good operation or a true wealth-generating machine comes down to the relationship between these two specific variables, the toll and the wave.
Well, let us look at a standard mechanical business to understand the baseline. You mentioned Coca-Cola earlier.
Right.
They collect their toll, their A, every time someone buys a beverage. But to maintain their wave, their B, they have to spend roughly $4 billion every single year on advertising.
Or picture a major freight railroad. They collect fees for moving cargo, but if they want to handle more volume.
They must lay down thousands of miles of physical steel track and purchase new locomotives.
Exactly. So in those mechanical structures, the relationship between the toll and the wave is purely additive. It is A plus B.
The growth requires constant friction, continuous capital expenditure.
Because of that required investment, the profit grows at roughly the same rate as the revenue. The revenue increases, but the costs rise right alongside it. The two forces sit side by side, but they do not mathematically amplify each other.
Which brings us to the free surfer. In this rare architecture, the relationship changes from additive to multiplicative.
It becomes A multiplied by B.
Right, the toll and the way interlock organically. The B is completely free, and it occurs entirely inside the company's protective moat.
So growth arrives without that heavy capital expenditure.
Exactly. The key distinction for you to keep in mind is that a free surfer does not have to actively spend money or even make active human decisions to capture the expansion of his market.
The natural wave of the industry multiplies the toll they collect.
Creating a highly specific accelerating geometry.
So when you look at how leading capital allocators identify this specific architecture in practice, the perspective of Chris Hahn becomes highly relevant.
Yes, TCI Fund Management.
Right. For context, Hahn manages TCI Fund Management, deploying over $50 billion.
That is a massive scale.
It is. When you are moving that kind of capital, you cannot afford to jump in and out of momentum trends. You have to understand the fundamental architecture of what you own.
And Hahn observes something critical about businesses operating in this multiplicative reality. Companies like Visa or the major credit rating agencies.
What exactly does he note?
He notes that once these companies surpass their baseline operating volume, any incremental gains they make essentially cost them zero.
I see.
Because of this structure, he points out that even a 1% increase in pricing power becomes a highly significant, disproportionate driver of profit.
Wait, let me stop you there. Every financial analyst understands the value of pricing power. I mean, that is basic supply and demand. What makes Hahn's observation distinct from standard market analysis?
It is a necessary question because the distinction is subtle. Han is not merely describing a traditional company's ability to arbitrarily raise prices.
Right.
He is identifying a very specific architectural state where three independent forces stack on top of each other at zero marginal cost.
And amplified by a fixed cost structure.
Exactly. It's about an accelerating mathematical curve that standard models just routinely fail to capture.
So if a free surfer is not spending billions on advertising or laying down steel tracks to grow, where is this zero-cost growth actually coming from?
The article breaks this down into three distinct layers.
Let us walk through them. The first layer is real volume growth.
Yes, the secular wave we mentioned earlier. The B, this is the primary engine of the entire system.
And the defining characteristic of this first layer is that the volume arrives entirely without effort from the company.
Completely independent of inflation and independent of any internal pricing decisions. It is simply a macroeconomic tide carrying the business forward.
We can look at very precise examples from the article. The digitalization of global payments is a structural shift that has been unfolding for decades.
The expansion of global debt is another one.
Right, a macroeconomic certainty at this point. And the migration of capital from active mutual funds to passive indexing.
If a business sits in front of these forces, the volume simply arrives for free.
So that free volume provides the necessary foundation for the second layer, which is explicit pricing power.
And this relies directly on the strength of the business's moat. A true free surfer can raise its rates with minimal friction simply because the customer fundamentally has nowhere else to go.
But the shape of that moat dictates how the pricing power is exercised. For a credit rating agency, the moat is regulatory. You are legally required to have a rating to issue institutional debt.
And for an index provider, the moat is structural. Asset managers are strictly bound to benchmark against specific indices.
Right. But there is a crucial analytical nuance here that the author calls the constraint divide.
The constraint divide, yes.
Because not all moats allow a company to exercise pricing power with the exact same freedom.
Exactly. You have to look at where the business sits on that divide.
Mm.
Companies like S&P Global and MSCI operate on the institutional side.
Meaning that pricing power is virtually frictionless.
Right. Their fee increases are baked into long-term business-to-business contracts, and they have very low political visibility. The broader public does not know or care what MSCI charges an asset manager.
Conversely, you have companies like Visa and MasterCard sitting on the consumer and systemic side of that divide.
Their pricing power is highly visible.
Highly visible. They face vocal retail merchants and strict regulatory scrutiny across multiple jurisdictions.
Which means they are politically constrained.
Right. Merchants and regulators force them to adjust their fees cautiously and incrementally. They make small adjustments within the sheer complexity of their fee structures.
But even with those political constraints, the underlying pricing power remains fully intact. They still possess the structural ability to push price through the system.
So that is layer two. Yet, as powerful as explicit pricing and free volume are, the most profound insight in the Averaging Up collection lies in the third layer.
The invisible layer.
Yes, the inflation pass-through. This layer is fully automatic.
Because the toll is almost always structured as a percentage.
Right, rather than a flat fee. So revenue swells automatically as nominal values rise in the broader economy. To see why this matters, I want you to consider that local restaurant analogy again.
When inflation hits the restaurant.
Exactly. Consider a local restaurant responding to inflation. They face an immediate operational crisis.
Input costs rise, labor costs rise.
They have to spend time and capital printing new physical menus, negotiating with suppliers, just to simply maintain their existing margins. They are running on a treadmill.
Meanwhile, Visa simply collects a larger nominal fee on that newly printed, higher-priced restaurant bill.
Without changing a single line of code, they do not hold a single meeting to authorize it. They do not negotiate with the restaurant owner.
The inflation passes straight through their architecture. It turns directly into revenue.
It is a completely frictionless mechanism. It costs the business absolutely nothing.
So we have established these three distinct revenue layers. Volume arrives for free. Explicit pricing is exercised through the moat, and inflation passes through the percentage toll automatically.
But top-line revenue growth does not automatically equal profit growth.
No, it does not.
The crucial mechanism is the conversion.
Which requires us to look at the concept of the lever. The article brings in the reference to Archimedes,
the Greek mathematician.
Right, who famously stated that given a lever long enough and a fulcrum on which to place it, he could move the world.
In the architecture of a free surfer, that fulcrum is its fixed cost base.
Yes. Whether Visa processes 100 billion or 120 billion individual transactions, the cost structure remains largely static.
Or whether MSCI benchmarks $3 trillion or $6 trillion, the cost of maintaining the index is identical.
That fixed cost base takes the three zero-cost revenue layers and mathematically amplifies them.
To truly understand the geometry here, let me rigorously walk you through the specific numerical example provided by the author to demonstrate this lever.
It makes the math very clear.
It does. Imagine a business with a $30 billion revenue base. They have $10 billion in fixed costs,
leaving a $20 billion profit.
Right. Now, we apply those three zero-cost layers to the top line. The volume provides 5% growth, the explicit pricing adds 2%, and the invisible layer of inflation pass-through provides 3%.
So those three layers add up to 10% total revenue growth.
Exactly. So revenue moves from $30 billion to $33 billion. But here is the mechanism of the lever. Because that $10 billion cost fulcrum does not move, the entire additional $3 billion flows straight to the bottom line.
So the new profit becomes $23 billion.
Precisely. Look at the result. Revenue grew by 10%, but the profit grew by 15%.
That is a 1.5 times lever.
It is the literal definition of geometric compounding. The profit compounds structurally faster than the revenue on a continuously enlarging base.
Given how powerful this geometry is, the author is highly selective about which companies actually possess this architecture.
They specifically identify five pure free surfers: Visa, MasterCard, S&P Global, Moody's, and MSCI.
But the architecture manifests differently depending on the specific asset.
Right. So let us break down the nuances among the three primary examples detailed in the text, starting with Visa.
Visa has the deepest volume runway.
Because of the cash to digital conversion remaining?
Yes, there are still decades of that conversion left globally, paired with exceptionally high leverage on their established network.
And then S&P Global presents a different structural shape. They possess the broadest runway.
Because S&P operates four independent tolls and engines.
Right. Ratings, indices, market intelligence, commodity insights. This creates high leverage amplified across multiple segments.
And then there is MSCI, which the article describes as possessing the absolute cleanest stack.
Maximal operating leverage, an active to passive wave, and frictionless pricing, which prompts a strategic question.
Yes.
If MSCI possesses the cleanest stack and the most frictionless pricing, why wouldn't capital strictly allocate to the cleanest model? Yeah. What is the strategic trade-off here?
Well, it is fundamentally a matter of dimension. MSCI is undoubtedly the most frictionless, but Visa has a vastly larger addressable market globally.
I see.
And S&P Global has superior diversification across its four tolls, insulating it from a downturn in a single sector. You have to weigh absolute friction against absolute scale and breadth.
That makes sense. To solidify this framework, we have to shift focus to how this contrasts with the rest of the market.
Examining what the article calls the mechanical mirror.
Right. Let us look at the differential between free surfers and mechanical businesses across those three layers. It forms a hierarchy of advantage.
Layer one, volume, offers a moderate differential. Both types of businesses benefit from volume, but mechanical businesses require capital expenditure to handle it,
while the free surfer captures it at virtually zero cost.
Exactly. Then layer two, pricing, offers a high differential.
Because mechanical businesses face competitive attrition if they raise prices unilaterally.
Right. But the true structural divergence occurs at the third layer. Inflation offers the maximum differential.
This is where we zero in on the article's critique of standard sell-side financial models. The analysts successfully model volume, and they conservatively model pricing at 1% to 2%.
But they completely fail to decompose the invisible layer. Yeah. That is the central irony here. Sell-side analysts view inflation uniformly as a headwind. They project it exclusively as a force that increases costs and pressures margins across the board.
They fail to account for the fact that inflation costs the free surfer zero.
Exactly. It is pure free revenue. When analysts project blended revenue growth for MasterCard, they do not isolate the inflation component or model its zero-cost nature.
So the market's blind spot is situated exactly where the free surfer holds its absolute maximum advantage,
leading to persistent structural undervaluation. They are applying industrial-era accounting frameworks to zero marginal cost digital businesses.
They see the compounding, but they misdiagnose the underlying geometry.
Or miss the amplification entirely.
So to synthesize this structural analysis, the defining feature of geometric compounding is three layers of growth, arriving at zero cost, passing through one fixed lever, A multiplied by B.
Which leaves us with a highly rigorous question to ponder.
Go ahead.
We've examined how standard sell-side models inherently misprice the invisible layer of inflation passed through today. But consider the current trajectory of artificial intelligence.
Okay.
If AI can eventually eliminate the human labor constraints within traditional mechanical businesses, could it effectively turn an additive business into a multiplicative one? What other structural advantages in the modern digital economy are being masked by applying these outdated accounting frameworks?
That is a profound structural question. If a traditional service business suddenly acquires a fixed-cost digital lever, the physics of entire industries could rewrite themselves.
Exactly.
It is the kind of paradigm shift that rewards patient, rigorous analysis. We formally conclude this discussion by directing you to explore more articles and rigorous structural frameworks from the Averaging Up collection at averagingup.com. It will change how you measure the architecture of the businesses you examine.